Morning from Trinity United Methodist Church. To those of you listening to your radio at home or in your car, we welcome you to our worship service this morning. And we can be found at 333 South Chestnut Street and invite you to join us anytime you are able. This morning our scripture reading will come from Exodus 1:8 through 2:10, followed by a sermon by Pastor Angel Abshire titled A Deliverer is Born. Then a new king, who did not know about Joseph, came to power in Egypt. "Look," he said to his people, "the Israelites have become much too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, will join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country." So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with hard labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their hard labor, the Egyptians used them ruthlessly. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, "When you help the Hebrew women in childbirth and observe them on the delivery stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live." The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" The midwives answered Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive." So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave the order to all the people, "Every boy that is born you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live." The birth of Moses. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him, coated it with pitch and tar. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother, Pharaoh's daughter, and said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. This passage, as long as it is ever so significant to the history of Israel and to us as Christ followers. Had fear prevailed, we would never know the name of Moses today. We would not have the Ten Commandments. We would not have so many things. And through that remnant that Joseph saved, and through that baby pulled out of the Nile, we have our great deliverer, Jesus, the Messiah. Oh, because these women acted out of compassion and courage, fearing the Lord more than Pharaoh, the extermination of a people did not take place. And history was not forever changed. Last week, at the end of my scripture lesson, at the end of the message, I did a quick drive-by of the last few chapters of Genesis. And as we well know, Joseph's long wait and his abiding faith not only earned him prominence and trust, he saved or redeemed a remnant. But now there's a new sheriff in town. And frequently, when a new sheriff, a new king, or a new pharaoh comes into town, they want things to be their way. Now, it is a very wise thing to check how the history of things have been done before. But this pharaoh was a little too arrogant and ignorant to check into those things. As a matter of fact, Ramses II was a wee bit paranoid. He was afraid that these people would grow and multiply and overpower him. He said to his people, if they continue to grow and multiply as hardy a people as they are, if we go to war, they could join our enemies and end up winning and ruling against us. So he plotted. And his plots were cruel, slavery, and ultimately genocide. But where cruelty seeks its victims, courage and grace will also arise. For God is always, always, beloved, on the side of the oppressed and on the side of those who have faith in him. A pair of midwives named Shapiro and Puah refused to execute this new king's plans. So Pharaoh turned up the pressure, commanding all people to throw every male Hebrew child into the Nile. Now, the Nile was exquisitely beautiful and alive. The River Nile is the longest in the world, snaking 4,160 miles through Brunei, Africa, to the Mediterranean Sea. And in its beautiful, exotic, life-giving river lives some of the most fearsome creatures in the world. The Nile crocodile. 12 species to be exact. Now don't get me wrong. I don't have anything against gators in particular. As a matter of fact, my husband is a Florida Gators fan, and I've grown to like them because every time they get a touchdown, I get a kiss. So I like the Florida Gators now. But not only did they have 12 species of gators in this Nile, but they had human crocodiles watching everything that went on, because all of these people, not just the midwives, wanted to please this vicious new ruler. I can't imagine people wanting so badly to please their ruler that they would take a helpless infant and throw them in to the Nile to either drown or more than likely be devoured by a gator. But power and the need for approval often corrupts, does it not? We see that from day to day, especially during election times. Well, under this paranoid Pharaoh's watch, a beautiful baby was born. This baby would not be left to the human reptiles. This child was placed in a basket that was plastered with the reeds of the Nile itself, so that it would not allow any water in and it would not sink. It was a safe place. His sister Miriam watched as the basket was placed in the water to float, as the parents trusted the Lord to place their little infant that they had guarded so carefully for 3 or 4 months into the basket that was prepared, trusting that God would look over their child. The anonymous writer of Hebrew writes, "By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents for 3 months after his birth because they saw that this child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's commands." 5 strong women played a role in saving this child: Shaphira, Pua, Jehoshabed, his mother, Pharaoh's daughter, who interestingly enough is never named, and Miriam, his sister. The 2 brave midwives defied Pharaoh's orders because they revered and feared the Lord more than any man, which we should all take note of and do ourselves. We should study and read the Word, and we should have reverence and awe and wonder and fear of the Lord more so than any man. The mother of this child, motivated by faith, put away her fears. Jehoshabed, whose name means Jehovah is glory, could think of nothing but protecting her beloved child. What mother would think of anything else? God's gift to her was this child, so she boldly took risks and placed this child upon the water. Pharaoh's daughter, unnamed and unlike her murderous father, overcome with pity and compassion for this babe, ordered that he be drawn out of the water. Now, she herself did not know how to care for the child, something that his mother had counted on and Miriam had stood by and watched. And once she saw that Pharaoh's daughter, the princess, was enamored with the tiny baby, she came up and she said, "Excuse me, Your Royal Highness, would you like me to go get one of the Hebrew women that you could hire as a wet nurse for this child?" The princess thought, "Well, that's probably a good idea." And off ran Miriam, and she got her own mother, the child's own mother. So Moses had the love and the nurturing of his mother, and yet he had the education and all that was afforded by being the son of the princess. We meet 5 women of faith, compassion, imagination, and ingenuity that save a child whose name in Hebrew means "I drew him out." When 9 miners from Pennsylvania were rescued from a flooding mine shaft, they recalled a dramatic rescue that I remember being glued to the TV when all of this happened, because I myself had an 18-month-old child. Does anybody remember the story of little Jessica McClure when she fell down a 22-foot well in Texas and was stuck down there, and there were news reports all day long of this little tiny girl stuck down there? They piped down a microphone so her mama could talk to her, and her mama lay curled up there singing the child's two favorite songs, Jesus Loves Me and Winnie the Pooh. 2.5 days later, when they finally dug another shaft next to it and drilled in, and a paramedic came up with the tiny, dirt-covered little child and carried her out. News reporters were standing there, and someone asked the little girl, "Who saved you?" And she said, "Winnie the Pooh," because she remembered her mama singing Winnie the Pooh to her. Well, Moses' name literally means saved, delivered by God. Your name and my name is Moses too, because we have been safe and delivered by God from our sins and from the dangers of the world. When we take our baptismal vows, we are asked if we will deny sin in all its forms, and if we will take on the power of Jesus Christ to help us to deny sin. When we take on the power of Jesus Christ, whether we are immersed, whether we are sprinkled, or whether we are poured, when we are clothed in the power of Jesus Christ, we immersed, resurrected with the same power that brought him up from the grave, and we have the power to fight against sin with him on our side. We have been safe, delivered, and redeemed. What compelled such drastic, courageous, life-saving acts on the behalf of the future deliverer of Moses? Because if you read the story, he did indeed do many. Jacob's family, which numbered 70, was safely in Egypt. However, Joseph and his generation all die off. We will have that happen too. That is why we are called to create disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Sometimes we have to move outside this building to create those disciples. As it comes time for nomination committee, I ask of you to be in prayer, to start looking around your church for leadership, not for people to fill a slot, but for people who truly are gifted for the particular slots that we may ask them to fill. We are called to raise up leaders. We are called to prepare the next generation. Sadly, this new king coming into power in Egypt doesn't know a thing about the Hebrews or even care. Big, big, big mistake. You always look at the history of your predecessor. Look at the history of your community. Learn as much as you can. That's why I want to visit with every single one of you. I want to know the history of this church, for it speaks volumes about our future. Since 9/11, we in the United States and most of the free world have been threatened and terrorized. Uncertainty rules. Where and who do we look to for safety and security? The Obama bin Ladens, who are motivated by a bad mix of politics and religion, have taken away our securities. You'll never hear me preach politics. But being robbed of our securities, that you'll hear me talk about. And who returns our security? That you will hear me proclaim from the rooftop. For when we look towards Jesus Christ, when we look towards our Father in heaven, we have all the security and stability that we need. For we have the Comforter, the Counselor, the Wisdom, the Holy Spirit lives within us. In good times and in bad, we can be assured that He is here to guide us, to offer us safe refuge, to give us a sense of security and purpose. It may not always look the way we want it to look. Natural disasters are still going to happen. Bad people are still going to do bad things. But our God does not change, and that is who we look to for security. This new king has a solution to the problem. To the landless folks, this Pharaoh decides that he's going to oppress them with slave labor if he works them hard enough. Their vitality will be stripped from them. Their faith and trust in their God will be demeaned once they have been whipped and beaten down and starved and had to work hard. That didn't happen. For our God comes alongside of those who are oppressed and encourages them. They might have built great storehouses in Pittim and in Ramsey. Archaeologists have proved that. Oppressed people in every age have been able to identify with these Hebrews subject to slave labor. But they also know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is on the side of the oppressed. Amnesty International estimates today that there are more people outside of the communist era that are oppressed than in any time in the era of all history. Oppression can be a group of people within society. It can be women. It can be a race or an ethnicity. It can be GBLT. It can be clans. It can be caste systems. It can be easy to be blind to oppression out of simple ignorance, not knowing. It can be easy to be blind to something that we do not understand. But our God is never, ever blind to those who are oppressed and hurting. He is right beside them, encouraging them, letting them know that they are worthy and building them up. There is a temptation for arrogance in power. That is why I truly believe anyone who has any type of power needs an accountability system of people who truly know them to pull their feet back down to the ground. Because any kind of power corrupts people. In Egypt and Mesopotamia, the rulers could be exalted to almost a superhuman, idolatrous, divine position Rulers such as this new king in Egypt easily become arrogant, intoxicated with power, and lift themselves above common decency. Meanwhile, throughout history, there is a yearning in every human heart for deliverance. Deliverance may not always be social. It might be personal. How many of us who have never even seen the insides of a jail have some sort of bondage within ourselves? Mine? I've always struggled with not being enough. Each and every one of us has something that we struggle with. But when we take it before our God, He delivers it, delivers us from it. Now, we might take it back at times, but He is so good and gracious that when we come before Him again on our face and surrender, He takes it again. The wondrous message of Scripture is that God brings a deliverer. For the people of Israel, it is Moses. For the world, it was a deliverer born in Bethlehem. Christ is our deliverer. A young black convict was heard pleading as he was being executed in the South. His idol was Joe Louis, the heavyweight boxing champion. This poor boy was so deluded. As he's being executed, he's crying out, "Joe Louis, save me. Save me. I want to feel safe. I want to know that my family's going to be safe. I yearn for hope and purpose." Well, my hope and my purpose is not on stocks and bonds. It's not on politics. It's not even on the police and civil servants who I highly respect. My hope, my salvation, my deliverer is Jesus Christ Himself and the finished work upon the cross. One Sunday, a man named Daniel was crossing the bridge over a river in South Dakota, when he saw a young boy waving frantically at him, "Stop, stop." And he said, my friend, he's gone under. Will you please come and help?" The man dropped his bike and he went to help and he pulled the friend out. Lo and behold, it was his own son. He held the boy and he just prayed and thanked God for the opportunity to have been there at that time, in that moment, and to have been his precious son's deliverer. But he only had that opportunity because God placed him there at that moment and because that friend came and flagged him down. When we know that because the Holy Spirit lives in us, we too or Moses, we are deliverers for the lost and the least, the hungry, the homeless, the ones who are oppressed. We find a new freedom in Christ, a new love. Because each and every one of us is a deliverer to someone else. In just a minute, we're going to hear, it's old, sorry about that, but I absolutely love Rich Mullins, and I'm going to recommend a book to you, Rich Mullins and the Ragamuffin Band. Now, this man was famous, amazing Christian, did missions everywhere. But when you read about him, you will find out he never felt like he was enough. He never felt like he measured up and was doing what God wanted of him. But once in a while, when he would get on his face and surrender before his God, he would feel God's pleasure in him. And he sings this song, "My Deliverer." Each and every one of us have a deliverer in Christ Jesus. Can we not extend that grace and be that hope and that hand for others?